from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up,
an administration that wanted to pursue unity might observe that 77% of Americans, including a majority of Democrats and 85% of independents, don't want taxpayer dollars to fund foreign abortions.
That was Leader Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor yesterday, responding to President Biden's call for unity in the midst of executive orders and policy initiatives that run counter to what a majority of Americans believe and want. We're going to focus today on one of these areas, and that is the sanctity of human life, as we're joined by pro-life members from both the House and the Senate today. Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas will be here on a measure that he has reintroduced that protects babies with Down syndrome. He'll also weigh in on what lawmakers in his home state of Kansas are doing to advance a constitutional amendment protecting the sanctity of human life. Missouri Congressman Jason Smith stops by Washington Watch a little later to explain his No Abortion Bonds Act that keeps federal tax-exempt bonds from being used to build abortion clinics. And Utah Senator Mike Lee has three measures he has introduced that would advance the sanctity of human life throughout our public policy, both domestically and in our foreign policy. And we'll hear about Congressman Bob Lottis' Save Moms and Babies Act, which keeps common sense protections in place around the use of drugs or chemical abortions that, quite frankly, are expanding rapidly. And finally, we'll get an update from the Director of Federal Affairs for Life and Human Dignity here at the Family Research Council. I'll get that out. It's Friday. I've been doing a lot of talking this week. Connor Semmelsberger joins us with some very encouraging developments about what's happening around the nation that I think really reflects where Americans are on the issue of life. So if you miss anything, you can find it all later at TonyPerkins.com. By the way, FRC hosted its annual Pro-Life Con. That's our convention on life. We do it every year. Well, this year it was totally virtual because the March for Life was virtual as well. And if you missed it, not to worry, you can find it at TonyPerkins.com. It's right there. Go check it out. All right, Republicans on Capitol Hill are responding en masse, and this is encouraging, and you should be encouraged, too. They are responding to this assault on the sanctity of human life that Joe Biden and his administration have launched. I mean, he is setting a record. He has already set a record, and he's continuing the pace with executive orders, many of them zeroing in on the sanctity of human life. Here's more of what Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, had to say yesterday on the Senate floor.
An administration that wanted to pursue unity might observe that 77% of Americans, including a majority of Democrats and 85% of independents, don't want taxpayer dollars to fund foreign abortions. This and many other common sense pro-life policies enjoy broad support from the American people, but the radicalism of the modern Democratic Party seems dug in. Fortunately, political dynamics change, but the moral truth does not. Executive orders can't alter the basic science of human life.
As I said, the Biden administration, President Biden, setting records with the number of executive orders, surpassing two dozen already in his first week. And, you know, I go back. I've said this before, but it bears being stated again, and that is the media criticized Donald Trump for all of his executive orders. How many did he have in his first week? Four. Joe Biden, 24. Well, another Republican leader working to advance the sanctity of human life is Congressman Ron Estes. He serves as the 4th Congressional District Representative from the state of Kansas. He serves on the House Subcommittee on Worker and Family Support, and we welcome him back to the program. Congressman Estes, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back again.
Well, your bill zeroes in on something I think is a really significant and growing problem, and that is the issue of abortions when a parent, mother, get a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome. And oftentimes they move toward abortion. And we know that these tests from quite a few sources. These tests can be wrong 50% of the time. What share with our listeners what your measure would do and why you have introduced it.
Yeah, this is really important to talk about, you know, and the bill that we've introduced, Protecting Individuals with Down Syndrome Act, is a bill pushing through the House, have a companion bill in the Senate that Senator Inhofe is promoting as well. But basically what it does is it ensures the rights of people with disabilities to be protected. It's kind of tragic that mothers are now pressured into aborting their babies because they've received a diagnosis for something like Down syndrome. And, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of people in the United States that have Down syndrome today. And we don't think that the government should support a position that says their life's not worth living.
Yeah, it was a number of years ago when I was in office, actually, in Louisiana in the legislature, what I found as it pertained in particular to Down syndrome, although there were other abnormalities that were included in these prenatal tests, that insurance companies were denying coverage to these parents based upon these tests. And so they were being driven toward aborting these babies. So this is a growing problem. You know, some would say, well, you know, this is why are you doing this? This is a very significant problem.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, we should value life. I mean, that's what's so important. And, you know, when we talk about the right to life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness, we start off with life. And unfortunately, babies with Down syndrome face a 67% abortion rate. And it's just not right that their mothers be pressured to do an abortion. We're taking it at the federal level. Several states, eight of them or so, have already passed legislation to actually protect people with Down syndrome. And we want to continue to do that at the federal level as well.
What's your sense? Are you surprised at how rapidly the Biden administration is moving forward to undo all of the pro-life measures that Donald Trump had put in place, but even to go further in really driving this abortion-centric agenda?
It really is. You know, after President Biden's call for unity during the State of the Union, you know, I thought there was a chance that he would actually follow through on that. But it's been amazing and disappointing to see so many of these executive orders that have come out. You know, we talk about, you know, 77% of Americans, including a majority of Democrats, don't want to use federal taxpayer dollars to fund abortions overseas. And President Biden's just thrown that away with his executive order. And it really smacks in the face of what in many cases, Senator Joe Biden stood for. You know, he talked about government shouldn't take your money to assist somebody else to have an abortion. He actually supported an amendment praising the Mexico City Accord. So it really highlights how extreme and radical the Democrats have become today.
I cannot understand how, in the same breath, he can call for a desire for unity, but then also expand this, just undercut the very, I mean, the fundamental right to life. I mean, if we don't have any, you can't enjoy freedom, you can't pursue happiness if you don't have life. And I don't know how, when you have, even in his own party, when it comes to, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this with Senator Mike Lee, on the what he did yesterday with the Mexico City policy, where 55% of Democrats opposed the use of tax dollars and federal funding for foreign abortions. I mean, how in the world can you build a foundation for unity when you're forcing taxpayers to do something that they morally oppose?
You really can't build unity doing that. I mean, particularly when you talk about the leadership and the active folks that are in elected positions of the Democrat Party are taking such an extreme position. And, you know, you thought a Biden administration at least would have a chance to work on unity moving forward. But so many of these policies, even Democrats don't want, like, as you mentioned, you know, more, the majority, 55% of the Democrats don't want federal tax dollars to be used for paying for abortions overseas, and you know, 77% of all Americans. And it's sad that that's the position that the Biden administration has taken coming right out of the gate. I mean, we should look at things that doing policies that we all agree on, and it'll end up making our country better instead of being so divisive with some of these things.
You're listening to Washington Watch, all things life today on this Friday edition of Washington Watch. Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas, my guest. Congressman, I want to get to just a moment some of the exciting things that are happening in Kansas. Kansas is actually one of the very positive stories. There were a number, but this is a very positive story in this last election because there is a solid conservative majority there in Kansas, and some good things are happening. But before I move to that, I want to go back just to underscore something. I had left my notes in the other room, and I wanted to pull this back up. Regarding the why what you're doing is so important on Down syndrome, there was an investigation by the New England Center for Investigative Reporting. It was published in the Boston Globe about this new wave of these prenatal tests, which are simply done through blood testing. They're not as invasive, but half the time they're wrong. And parents are making decisions. And even, you know, the Boston Globe pointed to this, that this is actually pushing up abortions, the number of abortions that are taking place based upon this screening that has proven to be false half the time.
Yeah, that's bad to be making life decisions about bad test data and bad test results. And that's why it's so important that we highlight this issue. Granted, it's maybe more desirable to have tests that are easier and less cumbersome to take. But if the results are wrong half the time and you end up taking the life of a baby because of that, that's just bad policy for the country. I mean, it says a lot about who we are as a nation if we can't protect life.
Absolutely. Let's very quickly, some good things happening in the state of Kansas. Lawmakers are advancing a constitutional amendment. Tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, so yesterday was a good day in Kansas, even though we weren't have as much good news coming out of Washington. But the Kansas Senate passed an amendment called the Value Them Both Amendment. Basically, it is an amendment where we put into the Kansas Constitution the right to life for both the baby and the mother. And last week, the Kansas House passed that. Now that it's passed both chambers, it does not need a governor's signature. It's going to go straight to the people to vote for that. And this was so important in Kansas because even though the majority of Kansans support pro-life measures, and we've put a lot of legislation in place over the years, you know, in 2019, the Kansas Supreme Court made a terrible ruling where they came up with a unlimited right to abortion in the 1859 Kansas Constitution. And that's something we've got to fix that, and I'm proud to see this is moving forward.
It's encouraging, and a lot of stuff like that happening in the states. We're going to talk more about that later here on Washington Watch. Congressman Ron Estes, thanks so much for joining us today, and thank you for your leadership protecting the most vulnerable among us.
Thank you.
To find out more about the work of Congressman Estes, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. And by the way, I know we have a lot of listeners in Kansas. Reach out and thank Congressman Estes for his leadership. All right, coming up next, a measure to keep tax dollars from going to build abortion clinics.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hannah.
What's going on? Why so gloomy?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I had a lot planned to do during the stay-at-home time, and I just didn't do it.
Oh, yeah? What did you have planned that you didn't get to do?
Well, I was actually hoping I would finally be able to get time to do a regular Bible reading routine, and I started a couple of times. I just didn't stick with it.
Don't be too down on yourself. Starting a new routine can be hard, but one way to help is to join in with others and to have a good game plan. I think I have a good solution for you.
Oh, yeah?
Tony Perkins and FRC are doing a 2-year study in the Word. They have it all mapped out.
When did they start? I would be so far behind.
Oh, that's not a problem. You can literally jump in anytime. There's a daily reading, just a couple of chapters a day, with questions to help you think about what you're reading.
Nice. Where can I find this?
Go to frc.org/Bible, and you can get started.
Where's that again?
frc.org/Bible.
Got it. Checking it out now.
In a recent poll,
it was revealed that only 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview. This research also indicated that Christianity's teachings on abortion, marriage, and homosexuality are not only misunderstood, but seen as dangerous and subversive. In response to this trend, Family Research Council has released a new set of resources in our Biblical Worldview series. In addition to our full publications, which cover the topics of Christian political engagement, abortion, religious liberty, and human sexuality, FRC now offers helpful summaries of each publication in this series, as well as accompanying prayer guides to help you and your family pray through these important issues. And finally, our popular Biblical Principles for Political Engagement is now available in Spanish. All these resources are free and available at frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man wherever books are sold. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us. Let me remind you, coming up on Wednesday, February the 10th at 7:30 p.m., Pray, Vote, Stand Town Hall. It'll be our first town hall meeting. The Way Forward. We'll be doing it at Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia. I'll be joined by Pastor Gary Hamrick and Mike Ferris of Alliance Defending Freedom. We'll be taking your questions, answering them live. To be a part of it and to get information, we'll be sending it out shortly. It'll be at TonyPerkins.com, but also to stay connected, text the word STAND to 67742. That's 67742, the word STAND. All right, you ever wonder how some of these abortion clinics are built? Did it ever cross your mind that you might be subsidizing them? Now, not just with your tax dollars that we saw the last administration, the Trump administration, step in to try to stop, and of course this administration accelerating, but there's been a significant loophole in the laws as it pertains to tax exempt or tax free municipal bonds and federal bonds, where these tax free bonds, which are subsidized by taxpayers, are actually being used to build abortion clinics. Well, joining me now to talk about this, Congressman Jason Smith. He represents the 8th Congressional District of Missouri, and he's actually working to stop this. Congressman Smith, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. It's great to be with you.
All right. Explain to our listeners the problem here, what's happening, and what you're doing to fix it.
You know, Tony, as you know, protecting innocent life is something that we must never stop fighting to defend. And you never know whenever you're looking at different aspects of government what you may come across. I serve on the House Ways and Means Committee, which is the committee that's responsible for all revenue into the country and all the tax policy. And for over 40 years, federal funds have been barred from going to organizations that support abortion services. Yet there is a tax loophole that we discovered that allows abortion clinics to be built using subsidized tax-free bonds. And that's why I dropped this, created this legislation and dropped it. It's called No Abortions for Bonds Act, which closes that tax loophole, and it protects hardworking Americans' tax dollars and their values.
And folks, just when he talks about dropping it, that means putting it in the hopper, filing that as a bill. That because I just got to make sure. I have to remind myself that the kind of the terminology we use here, not everybody recognizes across the country. So he's leading out on this by filing this bill. This is one of those areas, Congressman, that most people would not have looked at. The benefit of having pro-life members on all committees of Congress, so you see the loopholes that they're using to exploit to force taxpayers into partnership with the abortion industry.
You know, it's so unfortunate. You have to watch every different aspect of government. As we know, government is so large, whether it has been in the past, like the President Trump and some other prior presidents that prevented the Mexico City policy from taking effect, where you would see some U.S. dollars going to foreign programs that could possibly be utilized to help form fund abortions overseas. You have to look at all areas of the government, and when you see that there's a problem, do everything you can to try to advocate and try to fix it. You know, I grew up one of those preacher's kids, and so, you know, protecting innocent life and the unborn was the sole part of how I was being raised. And so any aspect that we can find within government to protect innocent life, we got to do.
And this is, folks, another encouraging aspect, something that I have the privilege of having the opportunity to watch over the 18 years that I've been here, and watching the Republican caucus in Congress become more conservative and more pro-life. There is not, to my knowledge, after the 2018 election, there's not a single openly pro-choice Republican. Now, there's varying degrees to commitment to life, but we have more members committed to the sanctity of human life than at any time I've been here. And this is one of those things where we cannot lose heart and step back when we're so close to making such significant gains for the most vulnerable among us. Congressman Smith, any idea how significant this funding stream is to the abortion industry?
You know, it's fairly large from the sense of the amount of money that goes to tax-free bonds. Being able to track exactly the total number that has been used to build abortion clinics, that's a hard number to get. But $1 is too much in my mind. And like you said, the Republican conference is a pro-life conference. That's why we've had, I mean, there's 57 members of the Republican conference that has signed on to this legislation to put their name on it saying, yes, we have to pass this. So it's something that's pretty important that needs to get done.
Yeah, and it's also important because some would say that understand what's happening right now with the Democrats in control of both the House and the Senate. They say, well, why are you doing this? Because you know Nancy Pelosi's not going to give a vote to it. This is where we educate the population as to what's happening, or the public. But also, you know, this is really setting the pace for what happens when the Republicans do gain control. Again, people say, well, you know, they've had control before and they haven't done it. But it's not the same people. It's folks like Congressman Smith and others who are committed to this. So I commend you, Congressman Smith, for picking this up, running with it, and setting the pace for what I hope in 2 years, this will actually be voted on, passed, sent to the Senate, and become law.
You know, thank you, Tony. But regardless of who currently is in power in Washington, I can tell you I'm going to, the Republican conference is going to constantly defend the right of the unborn and hardworking tax dollars.
And you have an open invitation to come here anytime you want to talk about that and the other things that you're championing on Capitol Hill. Jason Smith, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right. Congressman Jason Smith of Missouri. Look, this is important stuff. All right. We're setting the pace. We're setting the pace, beating the drum for the sanctity of human life. All right. Coming up next, Utah Senator Mike Lee joins me, taking on the issue of keeping you out of funding abortions in our foreign policy. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The history of religious persecution in China is extensive, and many are not aware of the current oppression of religious groups taking place there. China restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale. This religious persecution targets those of every faith. Christians, Muslims, Tibetan Buddhists, and Falun Gong practitioners are all victims of the Chinese Communist Party's efforts to suppress any set beliefs that might compete with the party's ideology. This campaign against religion has had and continues to have devastating consequences for those who simply wish to live according to their conscience. Family Research Council's recently updated publication addresses China's consistent abuses of human rights and explains why they cannot be treated like any other country. Learn more about this issue by visiting frc.org/China.
Aw, man.
What's wrong?
I just missed Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and our congressman was going to be on the show today.
Oh, that's not a big deal.
What do you mean?
Well, you can always catch the replay of the day's show.
How's that?
With the Stand Firm app.
Yeah?
Yep, you can catch that day's program and so much more. You can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes while conveniently going about your day. You can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on the main feed, so you can stay up to date on local and national news.
Wow, I definitely use that. How do you find the app?
Just visit frc.org/app and download, or search Stand Firm in the App Store.
Okay, that's Stand Firm.
Yep, Stand Firm.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm a SageCon, but that's another story.
Huh?
Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad that you are tuned in. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Lots of resources there for you so that you can be an effective, engaged citizen. You know, our republic, as I have said many times, is only for participants. It's not for spectators. Be a participant. Today, focused on the sanctity of human life today, the virtual March for Life took place earlier today. But what's encouraging to me is that we have heard from Republicans from both sides of the Capitol, House, Senate, focused on the sanctity of life, in large part pushing back because I think we're poised for one of the most pro-abortion administrations we've seen. I want to play this clip again. This was from yesterday, Joe Biden repealing President Trump's prohibition against U.S. dollars being used to fund and promote abortion overseas.
And the second order I'm going to be signing also changes what the president has done, what former president has done, and that a memorandum reversed my predecessor's attack on women's health access, and as we continue to battle COVID-19.
Well, joining me now to talk about this because he has a remedy is Senator Mike Lee of Utah, who's been a champion for religious freedom and for the sanctity of life. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's good to be with you.
I had your House colleague that is doing the same thing in the House on the program yesterday, Virginia Fox. So your bill is simply trying to codify into law this Mexico City policy, which has become like a ping pong ball. You know, one administration comes in, they do away with it, Republicans come back in, and they reinstate it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's become sort of like the nuclear football, but with life policy. The bill I've introduced, called the Protecting Life in Foreign Assistance Act, would do something very simple. It would just ensure that our foreign aid is not funding the conduct of abortions or the promotion of abortions overseas. You know, this goes all the way back to 1984, when President Reagan instituted the policy, known as the Mexico City policy, just saying that the availability of family planning foreign assistance funds to organizations that provide or promote abortions or advocate to change abortion laws in a foreign country is going to be prohibited. And since then, the policy has been alternately rescinded and reinstated with changing administrations, just depending on whether they're Democrats or Republicans. We'd rather not have that football back bouncing back and forth,
right,
depending on whether it's a Democrat or a Republican who's just been elected to the presidency. We think it should be statutory. And that's what this bill would do.
It's interesting, reading some of the news reports after Biden, you know, removed this prohibition and now opening the floodgates up to foreign funding for this in our foreign policy. What's interesting is that some of the organizations that are recipients of this are hesitant to sign back up because they know, first off, this runs counter to what the American people want. And they're not certain that the Biden administration is going to be around, you know, very long, and they'll have to go back and change their policies again. So I think people on both sides may want the stability.
I think the stability would be good. And look, there's no doubt that some people want this no matter what. Some people who want to use it to perform or promote or advocate for abortions in other countries, they're never going to be happy with this becoming statutory.
Right.
But what matters is that the American taxpayer,
yes,
hardworking moms and dads in America who spend many weeks, if not months, out of every year just to pay their federal taxes, regardless of their own religious views or their own views more broadly about abortion, I think the overwhelming majority of those people don't want their taxpayer dollars going to fund or promote abortions in a foreign country.
Yeah.
That's just it's evil, and it's also ridiculous.
Right. Well, a recent poll out, a Marist poll out this week, 77% of Americans are opposed to this, 55% of Democrats opposed to it. Very quickly, we're almost out of time, Senator, but you have a couple of other bills, one of them being Abortion is Not Health Care Act. I think this is very significant.
Yeah, it is. It's very important because we believe that it's not health care. That's why I introduced the Abortion is Not Health Care Act to end the tax deductibility of abortions and clarify that this gruesome practice isn't health care. You know, health care is intended to prolong human life and relieve human suffering. And that's why we offer the tax deduction there. It's something very different when your purpose is to end an unborn human life. It shouldn't be considered health care.
And this is very important for the overall discussion about health care, that we not allow what some want to do, and that is to roll abortion into health care as if it's just a part of, like, you know, an appendectomy or something else. It is not, and I think it needs to be treated differently, and that's exactly what your bill does. Senator, out of time. I want to thank you, as always, for joining us, and thank you again for not only your commitment to life, but religious liberty as well. We really appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Tony.
All right, Senator Mike Lee of Utah. I'm telling you, these guys are not backing down. They're hitting the gas on these issues to educate the American public, challenge the Democrats, and provide a stark contrast. All right, more to come on the other side of the break. Don't go away. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host.
Get a trusted perspective on the news of the day every day. Listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins to get honest and in-depth commentary on what's going on in our nation's capital and around the world. Join Family Research Council President Tony Perkins live every weekday on over 800 radio stations across the country. Or listen to the show when it works for you by visiting TonyPerkins.com. On the show, you'll hear from guests like Ben Carson, Senator Josh Hawley, Representative Vicki Hartzler, Molly Hemingway, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Dana Lash, Sissy Graham Lynch, Pastor John MacArthur, Eric Metaxas, Albert Moeller, and more. Tony is joined by leading political figures, pastors, and policy and culture experts who will inspire you to be engaged and informed on the important issues facing America. For a Christian perspective on the news of the day, tune in to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins at TonyPerkins.com.
Ever since the Supreme Court handed down its infamous Roe v. Wade decision in 1973 that legalized abortion nationwide, a national debate has raged over whether the government should fund abortion. In 1976, Congress banned taxpayer funding of abortion and Medicaid by passing the Hyde Amendment. Several states have followed suit, passing their own restrictions on abortion funding. However, because government funding is a complex system of joint federal and state programs, completely banning taxpayer funding for abortions and abortion businesses like Planned Parenthood is challenging. There is still much work to be done to free the American taxpayer from funding the horrific practice of abortion. Family Research Council's new publication clearly explains the Hyde Amendment and why we need to keep it in order to save taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion. Access this important information by visiting frc.org/hyde.
What's on your daily or weekly reading list? Are you looking for honest and informative commentary from fellow believers on the current issues facing our culture? Family Research Council has just the thing. Check out FRC's blog at frcblog.com. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts as well as outside contributors. On our blog, you can read about a wide variety of topics, including religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture. Read up on some of our latest titles like Four Disturbing Trends in Religious Freedom Worldwide, Legitimizing Looting Jeopardizes Liberty for All, The Media Still Doesn't Get It, Conservatives Tend to Vote Conservative, and more. At Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in the culture by helping you live out your faith and to stand for truth. Our blog is here to help you do that. Stay informed and get the resources you need at frcblog.com.
Listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, TonyPerkins.com. As I mentioned earlier today, FRC hosted its annual Pro-Life Con, our convention on life. This year, the march and everything was totally virtual. Our Pro-Life Con was virtual. The good news is, if you missed it, you can still find it. It's at TonyPerkins.com. I encourage you to take a look at it. Some really, really good stuff happening here. I know, you know, we're discouraged. Some bad things happened in the election. You know, just this week we've seen the unleashing of this really culture of death from the Biden administration. I mean, it's in the double standard that we see in the media where, you know, Joe Biden has gotten, I guess, almost two dozen or more executive orders in his first week. Now, if you'll recall, and I've talked about this before, but I think it's important to point out the double standard, that the media criticized Donald Trump for his executive orders, saying that he was a tyrant dictator, couldn't work with his own party, had control of the House and Senate, but couldn't do anything, so he used executive order. How many did Donald Trump do in his first week? Four. In fact, his first 100 days, 36. Joe Biden will probably surpass that next week in his second week. And he has a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House. But what is the media saying? Did you hear those crickets? That's what the media is saying. Nothing. Well, the Republicans taking this opportunity to show the sharp contrast between the philosophies of the two parties. One, embracing the sanctity of human life. We've talked about it with members of the House and the Senate. And we're going to talk about it some more. Joining me now to talk about another measure that addresses an emerging threat when it comes to the issue of life and the health of mothers and babies is Congressman Bob Latta. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Ohio. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Tony, thanks very much for having me on, and thank you for all that you do.
Well, I appreciate that, Bob. Thanks so much. You are addressing an issue that is under the radar for many, and that is while we've seen a decline in the number of abortions that have been conducted at abortion clinics, because abortion clinics are closing, they're losing ground, but they have made a tactical shift in using abortion drugs, chemical abortions, and they're looking to try to loosen the laws and regulations around them. And this is putting women at risk, is it not?
Oh, absolutely, because what we've seen is an increase in chemical abortions across the country. They were first approved back in 2000, and they think right now that with them, the number is about 39% of the abortions now since 2017 are chemical. And there's a higher complication rate because women don't know exactly sometimes what when to take this, these two pills. And there's more of more emergency room visits that occur because of it. And it's really frightening what we've seen happening out there, because of course the pro-abortion groups out there are really pushing for this to have abortion on demand. And they're self managed without any physical or physician oversight, and so it's dangerous.
Let me stop you. I want to make sure people understand what you just said. These death inducing drugs, this chemical abortion, this has been being given to women without ever even seeing a doctor. Is that right?
Well, correct, and that's the scary thing, because what the pro-choice side out there is trying to do is, again, have these drugs out there and, through the mail, internet, you name it, and through telemedicine, and, never seeing a patient. They want, and what we want to make sure is, especially in our legislation, is that, that we don't have this change of labeling on these drugs, and that's what they call the REMS, which is a risk evaluation mitigation strategy.
Right.
For these approved drugs, and the dispensing of these drugs remotely, because again, you don't know who's getting it, who's taking it, and how it's being administered. And so when you look at the dispensing, the labeling, and not approving any more of these drugs, because right now FDA's out there and approved clinical trials on teleabortion, and no doctors, no ultrasound, no nothing. And that's incredibly dangerous for women.
Well, this goes back to a conversation we had on went all the way to the Supreme Court. The law out of Louisiana, I actually authored the first version of this back when I was in the legislature on the Abortion Clinic Regulation Act that required these clinics to have a relationship with local hospitals, the whole reason being that if a woman had complications after an abortion, they would be able to readily access their records, know what had happened to her. In this case, what you're talking about is that this abortion-inducing drug could come through, or this abortion drug could come through the mail, be dispensed remotely. If there's complications, how is that hospital that she, this emergency room she shows up in, how will they even know anything about what she has been given?
Yeah, and that's why we're seeing such an increase in emergency room visits, because there you don't have it. Otherwise, when you don't have that oversight and when you don't see a patient. And this is why we believe that we've got to move forward on this legislation, where we've been working on it. And I'm confident, we will get it done, but it might not be as fast as we want because of, unfortunately, with the Democrats controlling the White House in both chambers in Congress. But we have got to keep working because of what what these drugs do. And, if you take off the these groups want to take off this REMS or this risk evaluation mitigation on these off the labels, it's just like, wait a minute, how do you know how dangerous it is if you get this thing and you don't know what you're really doing except thinking, well, it must be okay. And, one of the great things that through the pro-life movement, we've seen the number of abortions going down in this country. But I think it's always important, to stress that you've got to put you just don't look at a number. But, in 2017, the number of abortions performed in this country would take out every resident of South Dakota. And when we've seen these chemical abortions going up, the percentages, and again, that what the other side wants is, you don't even have to see a doctor, and you don't know who that patient is, and to get just a simple prescription, doctors want to see because they want to write something out there for some kind of a cold medicine maybe, but here we are talking about taking a life. and somebody getting this through the mail or through telemedicine, which is absolutely wrong.
You know, it always amazes me, Bob, just how much influence and control the abortion industry has over our policy in this country. It is, and it's clearly one party. They have so much influence over the Democratic Party. It is shocking.
Well, and it is. It's pretty much a one-sided group out there, and who they turn to. But you know, when we introduced the legislation the other day, yesterday, in fact, that we had 72 original co-sponsors on the legislation. So when you think there's 435 members in the House that have 72 original co-sponsors just to get started, that's a tremendous number. It just shows that we do have a huge pro-life caucus in the House of Representatives.
Any chance of getting Democratic support for this?
You know, it's tough because, you know, when you look at the other side, right now, there are very few what they used to call blue dog Democrats
right.
left. And they're pretty much controlled by the, you know, the liberal socialists then now. And so it's tough. There's, you know, there might be a few out there, but unfortunately, like Dan Lipinski, who was from Illinois and
right.
around the Chicago area, was defeated in the primary in the last Congress. And he was one of the very few, you know, of those, and that's why he was defeated.
He was targeted by his own party because of his pro-life stand.
That's correct, because I know him very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Dan and I didn't agree on about 95% of other pieces of legislation, but when it came to pro-life, he was solid.
Yeah.
But the left went out and they said, we're getting rid of him, and unfortunately they took him out.
Well, I appreciate the stand that you are taking, Congressman Bob Latta, and we encourage you to continue to do that. And I welcome you back anytime to talk about those issues here on Washington Watch.
Well, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too now. Thank you.
Congressman Bob Latta of Ohio represents the 5th Congressional District. So, again, you know, if he's your congressman there in Ohio, and I know we've got many listeners in the Buckeye State, you know, reach out and tell him thank you for his leadership. Again, you can go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. All right, joining me now in studio to talk about some more encouraging things in terms of what's happening at the state level on this issue of life, Connor Semmelsberger. He is the Director of Federal Affairs for Life and Human Dignity here at the Family Research Council. Connor, welcome back.
It's great to be on, Tony.
So while, you know, it's disappointing to see what we see with, you know, the speed pin of Joe Biden, you know, undoing the pro-life measures of the previous administration. And of course, this is just the foretaste of things to come. He is clearly out of step with the American public, which is on display at the state level all across America.
That's exactly right, Tony. And the states are really going to be where we see most of this pro-life activity happening these next 2 years, being locked out of any chance at pro-life legislation here in Congress. We will be turning to the states, and it's been great effort already. 2021 is off to an amazing start in the states, as 23 states have already introduced 54 pro-life bills, with another 21 carrying over from last year. So they have hit the ground running, ready to reflect the will of the American people, which is to ultimately end abortion.
And after this last election, I know we've talked about this a number of times, but a number of the chambers switching over to Republicans, so Republican conservatives making gains in this last election at the state level. We were talking earlier with Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas. That's another state where Republicans have solidified their influence. I should say conservatives, because not all Republicans are conservative in quite frankly, Kansas. No offense there, listeners in Kansas. But it's always been kind of a weird state when it comes to Republicans, but solidly conservative. In fact, we were talking about the amendment that came out of the Senate there yesterday.
Yeah, that is a great effort to see. It's something that's really picking up in some of these states. Louisiana, your home state, being able to successfully pass an amendment there to shape that Constitution to really fight up back against any type of court readings into the Constitution, just like our Supreme Court did here in D.C. So Kansas really off to a great start with that, putting that measure to the people of the state, getting them to vote themselves themselves that, hey, we the people of Kansas want to say that nobody in our state has a right to an abortion or to have that abortion funded, which is a key piece. So off to a great start, and I think that will pick up in other states. We hear Iowa might be next in pushing a similar thing for a future election.
Yeah, again, where you see the people at work, you see them advancing the sanctity of human life. I mean, it's the picture is quite amazing when you look across the landscape of America. It's just here in Washington, you know, with the Democratic Party. And this is, we were just talking, you heard the conversation I was having with Bob Latta. There was a time when there were what was Blue Dog Democrats. They were socially conservative. They were pro-life. There used to be a lot of them. There are none. I think it might be, I don't know, is there even one?
If that, yeah,
I
barely.
Mean, he's in hiding because there's probably, you know, they're almost extinct. But that's not the case anymore. But what has happened is you've had the Republican Party has become more pro-life. And I mean really pro-life because, as I mentioned, I don't think we have, after 2018, a single openly pro-choice Republican. The caucus is pro-life and, of course, varying degrees. But we've got some really, really strong pro-life leaders. Democratic Party, the polar opposite. Rabid. Pro-abortion advocates there controlled by Planned Parenthood. At the state level, I think that's really and I guess I'm partial to that because I was a state legislator, but the states really do, I think, reflect where the American people are.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to pick up on what Representative Latta had said on the issue of chemical abortion. That's an issue that because we're protecting against Biden taking strong action to repeal those restrictions, there's been a great coalition of pro-life leaders, us being one of them, working together to form state model legislation to lock those restrictions in on chemical abortion so that these pills can't be sent to women without physicians' support. And beautifully enough, down in Texas, the lead sponsor on that bill is a pro-life Democrat.
Yeah.
So there is some traction at the state level to work across the aisle. So we're open to work with that and promote these bills when the American people know these women deserve protection as well as
well,
unborn
a good
children.
Example of that, the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act that Trent Franks first offered here nationally after the Kermit Gosnell event in Philadelphia years ago. Didn't get any traction here in Washington initially, but the state started passing it. And I really think at this point, this is where the action is. It's at the state level. And so I am looking over the next 2 years to see all kinds of positive pro-life, pro-religious liberty legislation moving up from the states, challenging the direction that the Biden administration is trying to push America.
Mm-hmm. And Alabama was a perfect case of that in 2019. They passed an all-out abortion ban, one of the first states to do it, at least in my lifetime. And you're seeing several states pick that up already, Arkansas being one of them, to say, we're not going to leave any unborn life on the table. We want to ban abortion. This is this policy of our state. And I think the same thing, like you said, with the Pain Capable bill, we hope to see that sweeping across these conservative legislatures across the country.
So, folks, pray for gridlock in Washington, D.C., and roll up your sleeves and go to work at your state level, mm-hmm. passing positive pro-life, pro-family, pro-religious liberty legislation. I'll tell you, that's what I'm praying. I want gridlock in Washington, D.C., because nothing's headed in the right direction. We just want to freeze it right now until we get some decent leadership here in our nation's capital. Connor, thanks so much for joining us. You probably hear that music. That means you and I got to go.
That's right. Thanks again, Tony.
All right, folks. Thank you for joining us as well. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com.
Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.